We say at the end of the Al HaNisim, which we recite in benching and in Shmoneh Esrei, the Kavu Shmoina Simei Chanukah Elu Lahoidos Lahalol, that the Chazal, when they instituted the holiday of Chanukah, they established 8 days of Chanukah to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'd like to begin with a series of questions. First of all, do we know exactly what we are thanking Hashem for? What I mean by this is the famous question that the Beis Yosef asks, which is probably the most famous question in all of Talmudic literature. When I was growing up, there was a sefer called Ner Lameo, which offered 100 answers to this question. My grandson just showed me a new sefer that just came out, which has over 500 answers to this one question, exactly 502. But the answer that I'm going to give is not yet in that sefer, so this will be answer number 503. And the Beis Yosef's question is, why do we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days when the nest, the miracle of the Neros, was only 7 days? For one day, they had enough oil, and it took 7 days to make the new oil. They had to travel, they had to take the olives and press them, and that whole process took a period of 7 days. So the miracle was 7 extra days, but why do we keep Chanukah 8 days? A second question, once we have answered question number one, the second question is, once we know the reason why, in fact, we're going to have 8 days of Chanukah, will that knowledge affect our lives in any way? Or will it just be that we have another day to thank Hashem? Or will there be a lesson? I believe that there is a lesson to be learned, a very important lesson for us to learn from the answer to question number one, which can affect our lives. What is that lesson? And finally, something that's very relevant to the times that we live in. We are all familiar with a modern-day Haman, that's what I would call him, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. His name I always have, I think most people have trouble pronouncing. Mm-hmm. What I noticed about his name, it starts with A-H-M-A-D. So in his name, Ahmadid is the letters M-A-D, mad. The man is in fact a madman. I haven't seen anybody speak about this, but it's in his name. He's mad, and on such a person, however he pronounces his name, someone who threatens the very existence of all of Eretz Yisrael with a nuclear weapon, we certainly have to say on him, Yemach Shemoi V'zichroi, his name should be destroyed. Or as Chazal say, Shem Rishom Yirkavu, the name of the evil should be rotted. But we know that one of the things that he has just done is had a conference in Tehran to dispel the myth of the Holocaust, to prove that there in fact was no Holocaust. So we all know, unfortunately, that there was indeed a Holocaust. There are still people living today who have on their arms, they have the tattoo of the numbers that they were given. They lost their identity as a human being. They were a mere statistical number. So there are still some old people living amongst us that have those numbers tattooed. We know from our parents who have told us about their parents and their grandparents and their brothers and sisters, as in my own case, my parents' brothers and sisters and parents and grandparents and children who were murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemom. And just now, I heard on the radio, I don't have a television, I didn't see it on television, but I understand on 60 Minutes, there was a program where they showed, for the first time in 60 years, they opened up archives of records, that the meticulous records that the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, kept. It's 16 miles long of records, up to the point of the lice that each inmate had and how big the lice was. Was it small? Was it medium? Was it large? So in other words, there is beyond a shadow of a doubt there that there was unfortunately a Holocaust where 6 million of our brethren, the 6 million Kedoshim, the holy ones as they are called, because any Jew who dies al Kiddush Hashem, because he's a Jew, is automatically considered holy. So the question is, okay, we know that that whole conference in Tehran is made for the purposes of that madman. But the question is, now that we know the fact that it happened, does that fact do anything to our lives? Or just we know he's wrong and we know what the reality is? Or, again, like we asked the question about why Hanukkah is 8 days, does the fact that I'm going to learn why Hanukkah is 8 days, the fact that there was a Holocaust, does that have any relevance to my own life? Will it make a change in my own life for the better? And I believe, if we think into the lesson here, that it hopefully will make such a change. And all of these questions can be answered with a story that I once heard from Rav Naftali Friedler Zitzal. He was a Rav in Rosh Hashiva in Broyers in Washington Heights. Later he was a Rav in Muncie, New York. I had the good fortune to share for 5 years or so a kollel together with Rav Friedler, which we ran in Muncie. And I once heard him say over this story from the Ponovitcher Rav Zitzal, Rav Yosef Kahaneman. Rabbi Yosef Kahaneman gathered the survivors after the war in London, England, and he said to them, Mirzenin Noisarim, we are survivors. And he was giving them chizuk, he was giving them strength to continue with their shattered lives after the war. But the word that he used was an interesting word. The word was Noisarim. Regularly, people who have survived the war call themselves, they're from the She'eris HaPleita. They're from the leftovers, those who escaped. The word Pleita means those who escaped. But the Ponovitcher Rav did not use that terminology. As we'll soon see, according to the Ponovitcher Rav, perhaps that phrase, She'eris HaPleita, is an error. That's not what the survivors of the war should be called, if they are to live up to the holy mission that they have been given by Hashem. They are not Nish'orim, not She'eris HaPleita, but Noisarim. Now we know that in Lashon HaKodesh, the Malbim, or Reb Sam Sval Hirsch, among other commentaries, teach us that there are no synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. In English, you could have two words that mean identically exactly the same. In Lashon Kodesh, there are no two words that mean identically the same. So even though Nosar means survivor, leftover, remainder, and Nishar means the same thing, and yet there is a difference between a Nosar and a Nishar, and we'd like to discover in this year exactly what that difference is. So Rav Friedler explained the words of the Ponovitcher Rav based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, when Nadav Avihu perished in the Mishkan for the Avera that they did, it says that Moshe spoke to Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, Bonav HaNoisarim, Aaron's children who were left over. They survived. They were survivors. Says Rashi, HaNoisarim min Amisa, Elazar and Isamar were left over from the Gzera that they should die. Melame, this teaches us, says Rashi, Sha'af aleim niknesa misa, that not only were Nadav Avihu to perish, but Elazar v'Isamar were also to perish. V'tfilosoi shel Moshe batla machza, v'Moshe daven to Hashem, and because of the tefillah of Moshe, half was saved. They were saved. So what do we see that the word nicer means? Nicer means like a marshal, a pizza pie. You take, it's divided in 8 parts. You take 3 parts of the 8. You have 5 parts left. So it means that the 5 parts of the pizza, they were part of the whole. 3 were taken away, 5 are left. The not of Aviyu were nifter, but really Allah's of Yisamer should also have been nifter. They were part of that gzeira. So except Moshe's tefillah was successful, that they did not perish along with their brothers, not of Aviyu. So this is the definition of the word noiser. Noiser means I'm part of a whole, part of it is lost, and the other part survives. Another example, we have by the mincha. A mincha is flour, it's a korban that's offered in the Beis HaMikdash. There were daily korbanos of mincha, flour, that was sacrificed. How was this korban made? The korban was made by taking a kometz. What is a kometz? A kometz is the kohen scoops up in his hand a bunch of flour. He keeps the flour within the three middle fingers, and with his thumb and his pinky, he wipes off the excess flour, and what he has left inside of his three fingers, that is brought as a korban mincha on the mizbeach. The rest, says the pasuk, what happens to the rest of the flour? The pasuk says, "Vehanoseres min amincha la'arun ulabonav kodesh kadosh meishi Hashem." What's left over from the mincha, that goes to Aaron and his children, and it is considered holy of holies. It is from the fire offering to Hashem. And another pasuk says in Parshas Tzav, Perek Vav, pasuk Tes, "Vehanoseres mimena." What's left over from the mincha, after you have sacrificed the kometz of the three fingers flour on the mizbeach, that is eaten by Aaron and his children. What does this mean? It means that, for example, let's say Aaron or his children or any other kohen would take the remaining flour and he would be mekadesh a woman. Let's say the remaining flour is worth $1. And we go over to a woman and say, Hare at mekudeshes li, with, instead of giving her a ring, he would give her a dollar. And he would give her a dollar's worth of this flour. Is this woman mekudeshes to him? Is she engaged to him? The answer is no. Why? Because that flour, that dollar's worth of flour, does not belong to the Kohen. Who does it belong to? It belongs to Hashem. The Chazal say, "Koyhanim ki kazachu mishulchan gavola kazachu." It's from the high table of Hashem, meaning this is not your flour; it's my flour, says Hashem. This noseres, this flour that was left over, really all of the flour belongs to be burnt on the mizbeach as a korban. Hashem says, "But I'm only asking you to give me three fingers full of flour." The rest of it, what is the status of the rest of it? It's part of that whole that was separated. Part was put on the Mizbeach, but the other part has the same intrinsic holiness, which is called Kodshei Kodashim, holy of holies. And who does it belong to? It doesn't belong to you, Kohen. It belongs to me, Hashem. I'm letting you eat it, but that's the only thing I'm letting you do. I'm letting you eat it. It's not yours that you can go ahead and say, it's my money now, and I can go ahead and be Mekadesh a woman. It's not your money. It's my money. Why? Because it was part of the whole mincha. Except this part goes on the Mizbeach, and this part is eaten by the Kohen. But it has the same halachic status as the part that was on the Mizbeach. Why? Why is it holy of holies? Why is it part of the coming from the table of Hashem? Why is it not your money? Because it was nosar. It was part of the whole. And therefore it has the same halachic value as the part that was sacrificed on the Mizbeach. So we see clearly from these two examples, the word noiser means I'm part of the whole, and whatever the law is concerning that part that was separated, the same law applies to the part that was left. However, the word nishar is something totally different. Nishar means I have, let's say in front of me, I would have two glasses of tea, and I take one of the glasses of tea and I leave over the other. The other one has nothing to do with this one. These are two separate things. It's not a part of the whole. There's one glass of tea and another glass of tea. I separate one from the other. Where do we find an example of this? Again, taking it from the Chumash. The Pasuk says, by Edim Zomer, we have the case in the Torah where two witnesses made up a whole story and they got somebody in trouble. And then we find out that the two witnesses were not even in the city at the time when the crime, the alleged crime, took place. They said, we saw Reuven kill Shimon in New York City at 12 o'clock on Sunday, and we have witnesses that tell us that at 12 o'clock on Sunday, they were at that exact same second sighted in Los Angeles. They couldn't have been in New York. How could you have seen that Reuven killed Shimon on Sunday? You were in Los Angeles. So the halach is, vasisim loy kashizom las lachim. Whatever they plotted to, they made up, they fabricated a story. They wanted to get Reuven to get killed because he allegedly had killed Shimon, and they were the witnesses, and they really weren't. Whatever they plan to do to Reuven, that's going to happen to them. Says the Pasuk, Vahanishorim, those who are left over, Yishmu v'yirodeh, should listen, they should see, V'lo yasifu lasos oid kadover razeh, they shouldn't do this evil thing again. In other words, they should take a lesson. See what happens to these bad people. They're going to get killed for what they said, their lie that they said. Take an example and listen. What are these people called who are viewing this? They're called not Noisarim, they're called Nisharim. Nishar, why? Because they had nothing to do. They're not part of the group of the witnesses. If there would be four witnesses, I'd take two of the four. No, but they're not part of that group. They were just innocent bystanders who happened to see what's happening over here. So the Torah doesn't call them Noser, they call them Nishar, because you had nothing to do with those witnesses. We want you to take a lesson, but you're called a Nishar, not a Noser. Says Rav Friedler, explaining the Ponovitch Rav, that's what the Ponovitch Rav meant when he gathered the Jews after the terrible Churban Europa, the Shoah, in London. He said to them, you're no Sarim, you're not Nisharim. In other words, there was a gzeira of Hitler Yimach Shemoy to destroy the final solution. That final solution went on every Jew living anywhere in the world. The fact that you got saved, don't think you have nothing to do with the Jews who got killed. You were like Lazar v. Samar. You were part of the gzeira that what happened to Nadav Aviu, except you were fortunate that you got saved. That's why he called them a Noisarim. And we have Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. It's brought down in the introduction to his sefer called Kovet Shiurim, that before he was taken out to be killed, I must say, there are people who say that he never said this, but I'm reporting what it says in his sefer, and whether he said it or he didn't say it, but the concept is a correct concept. Maybe somebody else said it, but it's said that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said it, and again, it's in the Hagdama of his Sefer Kovet Shiurim. Darfin Mirin Zinnenhoven, as they're going to get killed by the Nazis. By the way, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was in Chicago at that time. He could have stayed safely in America. He knew what a danger it was in Europe, and yet he said, my sheep, I'm a leader of a flock, I'm the shepherd, I have to go back to be with them. And unfortunately, he was one of the 6 million Kedoshim. So he said to his sheep, before they were being executed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, he says, we have to have in mind, as mirvelin zayin besra korbonos, we will be better sacrifices. Oy mirvelin tshuvaton, if we repent right now. Velin mir Upratavin, unser Amerikaner Breeder and Schwester. We will die, but we will save our American brothers and sisters. So what do we see from this description of this speech that Rabbi Chanan gave to his flock? We see that he considered the Gzeira was also on the American brothers and sisters. We will be able to save them by our sacrifice, but the Gzeira is on them. So they are Nosorim. They are not Nish Yisharim, they're part of, they're lucky to escape alive, but they're part of the Gzera. It wasn't that Hashem made Gzera only on Europe and not on America. The Gzera was on the whole world, but whatever reason is, Hashem had mercy on the rest of the world and they got saved. That's what Rabbanovich Rav said. We are Nisharim and not Nisharim. Now, what's the difference if I was part of that group or I was not part of the group? Very nice. There's a difference. Nice or nisher. What does that do to my life? Does it make any difference? Yes, there's a big difference. If I'm a nishar, then I feel bad for what happened to the Jews in Europe, but it has nothing to do with me. I'm separated from them. But if I'm a nisar, if I was part of that gzera, but I was a survivor, and I was, by the mercy of Hashem, left alive, I have an obligation to fill that chesaron. If I'm a nishar, I don't have an obligation because it had nothing to do with me. But if I'm a nicer, it had to do with me. I could have been there as well. If I was left alive, my obligation now is to fill the gap. I learned this with someone last night, and they said it's like a partnership in a business. If the partners have to, gave a very good example, a partnership in a business, the business has to give $5,000 to someone. Each partner has to give a third. There are three partners. So they have to give $1,666.66. So two partners will say, okay, we'll give $1,000 each. The third partner can't say, well, I'll give my part and that's it. I don't have to give more. No. Once you're part of a partnership, they're not doing what they're supposed to, but each partner has an obligation that the firm in the totality, the partnership in the totality, comes up with the full $5,000. And if my other partners are not doing what they're supposed to, the fact that we're in a partnership obligates me to come up with whatever they're short. That's what a partnership is. I'm not doing this alone. Even though they're not doing what they're supposed to, but I have an obligation to make sure that the partnership as a whole comes up with the total, and therefore I'm going to have to fill up whatever they're missing. That's the idea of a nicer. A nicer has a chrayus on it. As I heard from the Novominsky Rebbe Shlita, he said I once heard him in a speech, he said that every Jew living today were either survivors or children of survivors or are relatives of survivors, but our whole generation are called survivors. So we have an obligation to live our lives, not just for ourselves, but we have to live our lives in place of 5, 10 people who got killed in Europe. And Rav Schneier Kotler, Zeche Tzadik Livracha, he once, I think when he was sick at the end of his life, they brought him some boys from Russia who had just come out of Russia. And he asked each one, where are you from? This one said, I'm from Moscow. Where are you from? I'm from Leningrad. Where are you from? Odessa. He said, each one of you who is privileged to be now in a yeshiva, you have an obligation to live your life, to make up all the brothers and sisters that are not as fortunate as you. And so we have an obligation to live beyond our lives. Now, either a person lives a very, very high life, or a shortcut, perhaps, is what we heard yesterday in our Chanukah Chagiga here at the OU, where somebody, a father came and said that the NCSY had been mashpi on his daughter, and through his daughter, 15 people are now from. So if you are makarv one other person to Yiddishkeit, if you realize that it's not me practicing Yiddishkeit alone, but I have to bring others, I have to make up the loss by one person, bring that one person close, you can bring 15 people close. And that's how we would build collectively Klal Yisrael. This is our obligation. Until now are the words of the Panovich Rav as explained by Rav Naftali Friedler, Zeche Tzadik Livracha. The following I'd like to add. If this is all true, what we've said till now, we can see a beautiful pshat in what we read recently in Parshas Vayishlach. The Pasuk says over there that the Sar Shel Esav, the Satan, who's the prince of Esav, came and wrestled with Yaakov. And the Pasuk, after the fight, Vayar Kilo Yochla, he saw, I can't beat Yaakov. So it seems that the Satan thought that he could beat Yaakov. He found out, I can't beat him. Why did the Sar Shel Esav think that he was able to beat Yaakov? And in the end, he realized he couldn't. So what I'd like to suggest, based on what we said till now, is the following. When everything that took place, as the Ramban teaches us over there, everything that took place in the encounter between Yaakov and Esav and the Sar Shel Esav was all Maisa Ava Simon Labonim. These were all stories that happened to our forefathers, which would play out exactly the same way to the descendants, to us, to the time of Achros Hayamim. So when Yaakov met the Sar Shel Esav, Yaakov said, he said a mistake in a word. He said the following, I'm dividing my camp into two parts. Why? If Esav will come to the one camp, Vahoya Hamachane Hanishar Lepleita. And here's, by the way, where you have the phrase She'eris Hapleita comes from what Yaakov said right here. The remaining one will be saved. And the Ramban tells us that this was Maisa of a similar bonim, that just as Yaakov divided up his camp into two, so also in the future years there would never be in one king's hand shalayya biyad melech echad laharagis kala yehudim. There would never be in the hands of one person, even Hitler Yimach Shemoy, he didn't have all Jews under in Europe, because they were in Australia and Eretz-Yisrael, South America, America, he didn't have all. Says the Ramban, Vim chas v'sholom yiru l'bnei Yisrael b'makam echad, harei revach latzol yamad lem b'makam achar. Even if they'll get killed in one place, they'll be saved in another place. So the Yaakov Avinu was trying to teach a lesson to his descendants that you won't be in one place, that chas v'sholom you can all get destroyed at one time. Because the Jewish people is eternal and they have to last till Mashiach comes. So it'll be two camps. But he made a mistake. What was the word he used? V'hoya ha-machane ha-nish'ar l'pleita. The Sutton heard that word. If that's the way you're teaching your future generations, that if one camp gets destroyed, what is the status of the other camp? A nish'ar status. Then I got you. That means if you're nishar, means you don't have any responsibility to make up the loss. Then I'm going to defeat you. Yaakov realized his mistake. And in that dark night, when he had transported his wives and children over to the other side of the Mavar Yabot, and then he returned, Chazal tells, he returned because he wanted to pick up some of the Pachim Tanim. There were little crucibles there, which he had forgotten, and he went over. He was all alone. What was the lashon that the Torah uses? Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Vayivaser comes from the word Nosar. Yaakov realized that in the darkness of Golus, the Jewish people can only survive if the attitude is not Nishar, if the attitude is Nosar. We're a survivor in what sense? That we have to make up the loss. We have to make up all the yeshivas, all the Torah, all the Kedoshim who were Nifter during the Second World War. We have an obligation. We who survived, we're Nisarim, as the Panovich Rav says. Yaakov realized it. So the Sutton came and he thought, ah, you said, if that's your attitude that you don't have to make up the loss, then I got you, I'm going to win. But in fact, Yaakov realized his mistake, and Yaakov, now the Torah tells us on Yaakov, he realized that he's a nosar. If he's all alone, what's the symbol that he wants to give to his future generations? Not the attitude of nishar, but rather the attitude of nosar. Vayar kilo yachaloi. Then the Satan realized, you have the trick, you have the answer. The only way to defeat me is if you're going to have a noser attitude, to make up the loss, and then I will not be able to harm you. By the Chashmonaim, The pasuk says in Shira Shirim, Kishoshana ben hacholchem kein rayasi ben abonais, like a rose amongst the thorns, so is my beloved amongst the daughters. Says Rashi, who does this refer to? This refers to Klal Yisrael. And who, the rose is Klal Yisrael, the red rose. And who are the thorns? Those are the nations of the world. And what do the nations of the world try to do to us? Sheminakvin oisa. They put holes. The thorns put holes in the rose. V'tomer hi oimedes b'naveo v'adni musa. But the rose fights back. And even though it got pricked by the thorns, the full redness of the rose is brought out, and it stays whole, and it stays beautifully red. That is the symbol of Klal Yisrael, that although the nations of the world will try to divert us from our emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will prick us, but ultimately we will make up the loss. The hole that we got a prick in, we'll be able to make it up, and we will shine in our full redness. That's why the Chashmonoim were called Shoshanim. As we say in the Mo'i Sur, Uminoiser Kankanim Nasenes LaShoshanim, to the roses. Who did the roses refer to? To the Chashmonoim. Because Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Yochanan's, what was Yochanan's attitude with Yehuda Maccabee, with all the Chashmonoim? They could have said, we're religious, we're not affected by the Yevonim, by the Hellenists, by the darkness of Yavan. It says in the Chazal on Bereshis, when it says that there was Chayshech in the world, who's Chayshech? Chayshech is Yavan. We're not affected by that darkness. What about our friend, our neighbor down the block? They are affected, but that has nothing to do with me. No, me Hashem Eli, they said. Who is to Hashem rally around us? You have to be part of us. You have to be lochem against the Yevonim who are trying to damage you. So they rallied the rest of Klal Yisrael. Where did they get that inspiration from? They got the inspiration from that one candle on the first night of Hanukkah, because there was a gzeira on that candle, on that crucible of oil, along with all the other crucibles. V'timu kol hashmanim. The Yevonim came into the Beis Hamikdash and they said, we're going to defile all of these crucibles of oil. One of them escaped, and it still had on it the seal of the Kohen Gadol. It did not get defiled by the Yevonim. Now this was lit. This candle, this little crucible of oil was lit. But it realized, I'm not a Nishar, I'm a Noisar. If it's going to take 7 days, I'm going to last for 7 days. If that's what I have to make up, 7 day gap, I'm going to make it up. I'm going to burn for 8 days. So that's what we say in Moisur. Umi Noisar Kankanim. Nasa Neis LaShoshanim. This jug was not a Nishar. If it would have been a Nishar, it would have burnt its 1 day, finished. No, it was Neisar Kankanim. If I'm the only one left, and hundreds of other little crucibles of oil were defiled, and it's going to take 7 days, I have to make that up. I have to make sure that I last for 7 days. 7 more days. Umi Neisar Kankanim. Nasa Neis LaShoshanim. That's the exact inspiration that the Shoshanim, the Chashmonoim took, that they learned from that nair. We have to live not only for ourselves, we have to live for all those who were lost, we have to bring them back, we have to make up the hole, just like the rose makes up the hole from the thorns, just like the crucible of oil made up the loss of 7 days. That's what we have to do in our fight against the Yevonim. Umi Noiser Kankanim Nasa Neis LaShoshanim B'nei Vina. We continue in the Moisur. The men of intelligence, the Chachamim, Yemei Shmona Kavu Shirunanim. They made 8 days. Your question was, it should only be 7 days. The answer to Pri Chodesh says, the first day, why did we have this miracle? Why did we have that day? The answer is because they won the war. The 7 days were for the candles, for the extra light. The first day was for the war. good, let there be, the Mefarshim asks, let there be 8 days of Hanukkah, and we should only start lighting on the second day. Why do we light a candle on the first day? If the first day, according to the commentary pre-Chadash, the first day was for the Nitzachon, the winning of the war against the Avadim, why do we light a candle? The answer is because that candle, number one, is Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah. Light reflects the light of Torah. This light that we light the first night is showing us that the Chashmonaim banished the darkness of Yavon through the light of Torah. It's telling us what was the essence of the victory of the Chashmonaim over the Yavonim. It wasn't just a physical battle victory. It was a spiritual victory. It was light over darkness. And secondly, it's telling you that this light is a Noser light. You're right. The miracle was only 7 more days. But you know why we're lighting a candle the first night? Because we're demonstrating by that we understand the first night there was a message that a Jew has to be a Noser. A Jew can't be a Nishar. He has to make up the loss. That's why we light a candle the first night and not just the 7 nights of the actual miracle. The first night that we light is to teach us this lesson that the light of a Jew has to always be one to make up any loss that we have. We have to be a Noser and not just a Nishar. And Emir Tzushem, if we do that, this will be our answer to Armada John, to those who deny the Holocaust. We who know that the Holocaust is true, there's a message that our lives have to be enriched lives. We have to live not only for ourselves, we have to make up for those who were lost. We have to bring them back, and we have to make that the red rose of the Shoshanim that represents the Chashmonaim, that represents Klal Yisrael, will finally bloom to its full, beautiful red majesty by bringing all those who were lost back. And through this, we will be zocha that we will have a shmira, just like in the LL crisis just now. Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that Shabbos is the shmira for the LL airline, that nothing happens. And right after they traveled on Shabbos, there was an LL plane that had to dump its fuel, and it was in a danger of crashing, and had to come back to the airport, which happened right after. That was a sign to us from heaven. The protection that you have from terrorists and from everyone is because you keep Shabbos. If we will live these enriched lives to bring back that which Klal Yisrael is missing, Mircham will be zocha that the Ness of Hanukkah and the Ness of Purim will be by Yomim Ohein Bazman Hazeh, that we will have this protection of Klal Yisrael, that nothing bad will happen to us, and therefore will be zocha lahodos ulohalel, will be able to give Hashem thanks for his constant protection of Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm.